Welcome, and thank you for joining us on the Birth Mother Matters in Adoption podcast with Kelly Rourke, where we delve into the issues of adoption from every angle of the adoption triad. Kelly is the executive director, president, and co-founder of Building Arizona Families Adoption Agency in Phoenix, Arizona, the Donna K. Evans Foundation, and the You Before Me campaign. She has a bachelor's degree in family studies and human development and a master's degree in education with an emphasis in school counseling. She was adopted when she was 3 days old. She was born to a teen birth mother, raised in a closed adoption, and reunited with her birth mother in 2007. Our goal with the Birth Mother Matters in Adoption podcast is to spread awareness and education about the beautiful choice that is adoption.
In today's episode, we are going to talk about the importance of adoption education for adoptive parents before they begin the adoption process. I think it's really important to recognize that anytime you start on a new journey, a new endeavor, it's important to walk into this as educated as possible. I have talked to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of adoptive families throughout all stages of their adoption journey. And I think sometimes we feel like we're more educated than we actually are. You know, we feel like, oh, I have a friend that adopted. I watched her go through her journey. You know, I understand the process. You know, I saw the highs and lows. I understand what to expect. But there is value in formal education.
Not to mention, as we've talked about a billion times before, every adoption journey is different from the next. So what you saw your friend Peggy go through when she went through an adoption might not reflect what you're about to go through at all. Except that it's an adoption journey, you know, I mean, just in the fundamentals.
Also, what sometimes is forgotten is that adoption laws, trends, procedures change. And so Peggy, we'll go with the name Peggy, you know, if you watched your best friend Peggy 5 years ago go through an adoption, the adoption laws may have changed since then. The procedures may have changed. You may be adopting from a different state than Peggy adopted from. And so you may not be educated in those state laws, those state procedures, and so forth. And so it's really important on the front end to gather as much information as possible. Don't necessarily also just go to one source. I mean, you want to make sure anytime you're researching something, I think gathering information from multiple sources is really helpful because it gives you different perspective.
Not just to a previous adoptor, like an adoptive couple, and say, okay, what was yours? And then quit. No, go to an agency or a law firm that deals with adoptions and ask them. Talk to the case managers. There's so many different, and talk to birth mothers who have placed their children.
There's so many, you know, in addition to whatever adoption education that your adoption agency or adoption professional recommends or has you utilize, they may have additional resources as well. Again, I think gathering information from multiple sources will give you multiple perspectives on how the adoption journey will go. It is important to not only pre-begin, I would say, you know, educate yourself on the very, very front end of when you are beginning your adoption journey, but to continue that education throughout your adoption journey. Just because you're matched with a birth mom in a domestic program doesn't mean you should stop learning. There are different avenues and there's different aspects of adoption. You know, you need to understand how adoption works, what type of adoptions there are. And again, some are specific to the state that you're adopting from, and some are going to be specific to the state that you're finalizing your adoption in. When you are matched with a birth mom, you also want to continue that education because you may come up to situations or circumstances that you are not familiar with. You know, maybe your birth mother is a carrier for a type of syndrome, or maybe she's of Native American descent. Maybe she had a medical test and the results came back that were concerning. Again, you want to go to experts who can help you understand that information. And this is common. I mean, when a woman is pregnant with a child, there are things that happen throughout her pregnancy that can be scary, just like if you are matched with a birth mother and there are medical situations that come up throughout her pregnancy that are scary. You know, just because you're adopting doesn't mean, okay, this is going to either go so smooth or, oh, it's going to go so bumpy. It's a pregnancy. You know, anything can happen. And so it's important to stay ahead of it in knowledge.
And I think your best first step to gathering this knowledge that you need is, of course, what you're doing now in listening to us.
Yes. If you go through our podcast, that's funny. If you go through our podcast, you will see that we have delved into so many issues. We have been recording these for years now, and hopefully we have distributed a wealth of knowledge, and we'll continue to, because our goal is to continue to raise the bar on adoption awareness and education. But in addition to all of these amazing podcasts, there are so many avenues that you can go down. And again, I really recommend going through your adoption entity as to where to find the resources for this adoption education, because obviously while there are so many good ones out there, there are probably some out there that are not our favorite as well. And we want to make sure that the information that you're getting is good, solid, strong, and current information. Again, current is the key, because nowadays, for example, open adoption is the push. That is the trend. You know, over 95% of adoptions are semi-open or open. 30, 40 years ago, 95% of them were closed. And so we've done this huge transformation. And, you know, if you are focusing on education from 40 or 50 years ago, that's not current and it's not going to be as relevant as it is today. The other thing I have found with adoptive families is the more knowledgeable and educated they are on something, the more open they are. So when a family comes to us and they say, you know, I am only comfortable doing a closed adoption, and we explain that open adoption is really what adoption has kind of transformed into. That's really where everybody goes. And they don't have the education or knowledge as to why or what the benefits are or how imperative it is to keep that channel of communication open. I think that we're doing a disservice. So that's why I say, like, if we educate adoptive families and let them know, like, this is really what's happening and this is the current information that we have. The current studies show us X, show us Y, and this is why things are the way they are. We found that adoptive families are more open. You know, drug use is another example. Drug use can be very, very scary when you hear the words, you know, this mom is using drugs and she's pregnant and she's placing her baby for adoption. Once that family is very educated in what the effects of drug use can be on the baby, we have found that they are oftentimes more open to opening up their preferences and willing to consider adopting a baby that has been substance exposed.
And we've talked about that from the beginning as well, not specifically about drug use, but about your deal breakers. The less you have of those, the better your chances of an adoption match and a successful adoption. So the more of those things you're willing to let go of and say, okay, this isn't as important as I thought before I got educated on it. And what are some of the other things that people should be more educated on instead of just having a knee-jerk reaction like they would with drug use?
I would say gender is one. You know, oftentimes people will come to us and say, you know, I want to adopt a girl. I'm really wanting a girl. Well, when you have a biological child, you know, you don't get to look inside the womb and say, okay, you know, I'm only going to have a girl. That is one. Another one would be, again, if a birth mother wants a open or semi-open adoption, that is another one. The level of communication that the birth mother wants. Adoptive families can be very hesitant if a birth mother says that she would like visits after the baby has been placed and the adoption's been finalized. That can be very initially scary to hear that. Another one would be, you know, when the adoptive family is new to the adoption world and they hear, oh, the birth mother and birth father want a relationship with us. Like we you know, we go back to way back when, and the stories of, oh, I'm afraid that the birth family is going to climb into the window and steal the baby, you know, and we explain that, no, the birth mother isn't placing the baby with you to come in and steal the baby out of your bedroom window.
To come, like, and Lindbergh the baby. Right.
Right. And so those are some things. Again, drug use is another one that we have found that families are more open. And I guess the most important takeaway, and you brought this up, of this episode is really the more doors you can open as you are beginning your adoption journey, and you can do it through feeling comforted by education and by your knowledge that you're gaining, the more quickly you may be matched. In other words, the more doors that you are closing, the harder it is going to be to find an adoption match. That's not to say that you're not going to, it just may take longer. Whereas if you are open to semi-open, open adoption, you're open to drug exposure, you're open to gender. You know, our agency doesn't allow gender specification. So in other words, we don't, if an adoptive family wants a girl only, we don't recommend our program. A long time ago, when we first started the agency, we actually did allow people to choose gender, and it bottlenecked the program because the majority of people want a girl.
Obviously, that's what changed it. But was there a straw that broke the camel's back that you were like, okay, we need to just open this up completely and say, you get what you get. There's no choosing in biological mothers. So, you know, you don't get to either.
No, I can't think of a situation where it was like, okay, we're not doing this. I think it was when we looked at our list and we realized that we had moms that were having baby boys and it was getting longer. And, you know, our adoptive family waiting list was getting longer. And wow. So, I mean, we stopped accepting these requests over 15 years ago.
Now, do you think from your experience with other adoption agencies that most of them have also kind of cut that off? Or do you think there's quite a few out there that still say, yeah, you can pick a boy or a girl or whatever you want?
I think a lot of them discourage gender selection like that. Right. However, I mean, there are ways around it. You know, when we send out to our families that are registered with our program, like a synopsis of the birth mothers that are about to be matched, it's all non-identifying information. And in there, if we do know the gender of the baby, then they can see what the gender is. And obviously, if you have a family that has three boys and they're looking to adopt and they're hoping to adopt a girl and they see it's a boy, they may not opt in to be shown, you know, to that birth mother. Unfortunately, ultrasounds are not 100% either. I mean, everybody has seen that situation where, you know, you think you're having one gender and you're surprised after the baby's born. And that happens too. I do think it's important to remember, like, keeping those doors open can be accomplished and your comfortability level can be increased by education and knowledge. And even, like I said, listening to this podcast today, you are bettering yourself for your adoption journey. And by learning more as you go, you know, even as you're waiting for the baby to be born, you can be educating yourself on raising adopted children and, you know, the best ways to handle situations that will arise later on down the line in school when they talk about family trees, or how you are going to integrate the birth mother into your holidays or into your family's
milestones and birthdays and all these things throughout the year that every family deals with, but how you handle it as an adoptive parent as opposed to a biological parent. And there's going to be obviously mostly similar things, but there's also going to be some difference that you'll come upon in the future, and it's better to be educated on all of this.
Definitely. And I would say that, ending on the note that if you're married and you and your spouse are maybe not on the same page with some of the information that you're receiving about adoption education, it's important to get an adoption counselor involved. So that way you guys can work out those differences even before the baby comes into the family, because it's important to be on the same page. But I think education is definitely key and definitely the way to go.
We have a pregnancy crisis hotline available 24/7 by phone or text at 623-695-4112. Or you can reach us on our toll-free number, 1-800-340-9665. We can make an immediate appointment with you to get you to a safe place, provide food and clothing, and help you get started on creating an Arizona adoption plan, or just give you more information. Check out our blogs on our website at azpregnancyhelp.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by looking for AZ Adopt Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, make sure to rate and review us on whatever platform you use to listen to us and tell your friends about us. The Birth Mother Matters in Adoption podcast was written and produced by Kelly Rourke and edited by me. Thanks go out to Grapes for letting us use their song I Don't Know as our theme song. Join us next time on Birth Mother Matters in Adoption. For Kelly Rourke, I'm Ron Raines, and we'll see you then.